Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout Scripture, God gives us many names by which he makes himself known. One of the most important ones, one of the ones that means the most to us, is what we just talked about in the children's sermon, is that name Emmanuel. That means God with us. And this is important because it solves a problem that everybody knows that we have, right? Because in the natural knowledge of God, in our conscience, we know a few things. We know that there is a God, right? We know that there is some divine being who created all of this awesomeness that we get to enjoy every day. There is something greater than us out there. That's part of the natural knowledge of God. And part of it too, part of our conscience, is that we know that there is a problem between us and this divine being. And so this is the reason why there are false religions. People understand that there is a problem between us and God, and these false earthly religions are ways that people have come up with to try to solve this problem, to try to bridge this chasm between us and our God, to try to heal that relationship. For us as Christians, that's why Advent season is such a season of anticipation and joy. That's why at Christmas we sing songs that are exuberant, songs full of energy, songs that are so comforting to us, because we know that there's nothing that we have to do to heal this broken relationship between us and God. We know that is why Jesus has come. That's why Jesus was born, to heal that relationship, to reunite us with God, to create that fellowship with God that we desire. And that's what this season is about, Advent. It's a season of hope, a season where we celebrate the fact that God has come to be with us. And when we think about God coming to be with us, we think, of course, of Jesus. And the first time we think about that happening is at Christmas. We think, well, yes, God came to be with us when he was born of Mary, and he was born of this virgin in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago. But if you read through Scripture, it's not that Jesus was just kind of hanging out before Christmas, right? He's not just kind of in the background waiting for his time to shine. Jesus has been active. He's been Emmanuel. He's been with his people from the very beginning. Jesus is that word that proceeded from God the Father, that created everything that we know. And throughout the Old Testament, we see several instances, and we talked about one last week, where where Jesus comes to his people to speak his word, where he comes to his people to guide them, even to deliver them from their enemies. And in each one of these situations of the second person of the Trinity, of Jesus acting in the Old Testament, this is a huge blessing to the people that he calls his own. But in these situations too, he also does this for our benefit. They're pictures of this awesome fulfillment of that name, when he would really come to be our Emmanuel, when he would take on human flesh and be born to be our Savior. Now, last week we talked about how Jesus spoke to Moses out of this burning bush, right? Now he said, I am here to deliver my people. I'm here to save them from their slavery. And he did it, right? We read through the book of Exodus, and we read about how God delivered his people through the plagues, and how he led them through across the Red Sea, and how he defeated the armies of Pharaoh by closing those waters on their chariots and his army. And now they are in the wilderness, right? As we read our text, they're in the wilderness, they're away from all of the people, but God is still Emmanuel. God is still actively with them. And he's present with them in the form of a cloud that covered and filled the tabernacle. And as we talked about in our children's sermon, this was their sort of church that was portable, in a tent. They were nomadic. They were moving wherever God told them to be. And it was made of animal skins. And in this place, in this tabernacle, they would worship God as he told them to do. So within this tent covered in animal skins, there is the most holy place. And you heard that in our text. In the most holy place is the Ark of the Covenant, in which is the Ten Commandments. And then there's a veil that separates this from the rest of the tabernacle that says that this is a special area. So as they traveled through the wilderness, God was with them. He led them through a pillar of cloud during the day, and this cloud looked like fire at night, and it went ahead of them. But also he was present with them in this cloud that filled the tabernacle. When this cloud would raise up over the tabernacle, they'd know it's time to pack up. Let's pack up our tents, pack up our stuff, and get ready to leave. But as long as that cloud remained on the tabernacle, they would stay put. They would stay where they were. Now that presence of God in the fire, in the smoke, in the cloud, that's Jesus. Okay, that is the second person of the Trinity. That is Christ the Savior. We know this, one, because of what John tells us in our gospel text. Look what he says. He says, "No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son has made him known." So this cloud over the tabernacle, this is God making himself known through the Son, right? Showing himself in the cloud and in the fire. So this is God with his people saying, "I have chosen you, and I'm going to show you that this is my presence leading you. I'm going to lead you each and every day, show you that I am your Emmanuel, that I have chosen you, that you are my people." And he did this throughout their entire journey through the wilderness, all the way to the land that he had promised them, the land of blessing, the promised land. So think about that picture as God is saying, "I'm coming to be with my chosen people, to show them that I am with them, to give them my presence, to lead them through this journey that I have put them on, and now I'm going to ultimately fulfill my promise and deliver them to the promised land." This is a picture of Christmas, right, of how heaven and earth come together in the conception of Jesus. And that's what our gospel text for tonight is emphasizing. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. So the Word is Jesus, right? John is saying Jesus became flesh and dwelled among us. And another, that word dwelled, that's another word for the word tabernacle or tent. So you can rightfully say that the Word became flesh and tabernacled, set up his tent among us. And in our Old Testament lesson, this is what he's doing. He's setting up his tent, his place of worship among his people. But he fulfills this in an even greater way at his birth. He does it permanently. The glory of the Lord dwells in human skin. He tabernacles. He sets up his tent among us in the person of Jesus. God and man come together permanently and perfectly in Jesus Christ. And that's the reason, ultimately, this nature of Jesus as being fully God and fully human in one person. This is the reason that Christmas for us is so full of joy. Because it's because of that special nature of Jesus that he is able to be our Savior, right? So that chasm that we understand exists between us and God, that's there because of sin, and that's what Jesus came to fix. That's the separation that Jesus came to heal that divide. He has brought us back into fellowship with God because of that nature. As man, as a true man, Jesus lived in our place. He faced every temptation we face. He suffered through the same things that we suffered through loneliness. He faced the same trials, and yet he was in every way perfect, perfectly fulfilling the law at every single turn in our place. And also, because he had a human nature, Jesus could die. So Jesus, who is God and man, he goes to the cross and he dies, not for his own sins, but for ours. And since he's not just a man, since he is also divine, since he is God himself, that sacrifice is worth enough to pay for the sins of the entire world. And now he comes and he gives us this faith that unites us to himself. And in this is this awesome reuniting of man and God. He's saying, this chasm of sin, I've solved this problem, right? I've fixed this relationship. You couldn't be in the presence of God because of sin, and I've taken your sins away. This sin has created this huge divide, but I've removed that divide, and now we are, once again, our fellowship with God has been restored. And that's the glory of Christmas. That's why Christmas is so incredibly awesome for us who know the nature of Jesus and his work, that he is true God and true man, who has come to dwell among us in order to remove that sin and fix our relationship with our God. Now that fellowship, that unity is foreshadowed right here in this cloud that fills the tabernacle. God is saying, I want to be with my people. I want my presence to be among you. I want to be close to you. And it's fulfilled in what Jesus does. And it's also fulfilled again, excuse me, it's a foreshadowing of when it will be fulfilled again on the last day. Revelation 21 describes it like this. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. It's at that last day that it will be the ultimate fulfillment, where Jesus ultimately lives up to his name in the greatest way of Emmanuel, because at the end of the world, God will be with us. We will be with him forever because of what he's done for us. So now in this season of Advent, and we talk about this a lot, it's not just that we are getting ready or preparing to celebrate Christ coming at Christmas, but we're also getting ready to celebrate Christ coming again in glory. And then if we think about this picture of God being Emmanuel, God being with his people, with the Israelites in the wilderness, it's a good picture for us to think about in our life too, right? Because God has said that this is our wandering in the wilderness. As we live here, we know that this is not our home. We have this promise that he is leading us to our promised land of heaven, that he is our God with us to lead us through the scary, difficult, hard times of this wilderness, but ultimately where he's leading us is heaven. He leads us not through a pillar of cloud, a pillar of smoke anymore, but he leads us through his word and through his sacrament. Now, he said, this is how I'm going to reveal myself to you. This is how I'm going to assure you every single step of this journey, every single day of your life, that I am with you. I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to give you my promise that you can read every day. And then in the sacrament, I'm going to give you my body and blood so that I can be united with you, so that you can be united with me and have this assurance, this actual giving of the forgiveness of sins, this unity with me. And this is what Jesus will do every single day of our life until he fulfills that final promise and brings us to our promised land. Because he is who he says he is. He is our Emmanuel. He is now and always will be our God with us. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.